name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.
I don't think there's anyone here who doesn't like to take a vacation once in a while. I know last month, Sharon and I got a chance to go with Elizabeth, and we got to go down to my niece's wedding down in Florida. It's been the first real vacation we've had in about 3 years, and I'd forgotten how much planning there is involved in getting ready for a vacation. You know what I mean. You know, you don't just automatically, I'm going to take a vacation. No, you have to, of course, if you're going to fly, you buy your tickets ahead of time, hopefully. You make your plans as to where you want to go, where you're going to stay. It's a lot involved in taking a journey. When you arrive, there's hopefully some sort of grand epiphany the first time you lay eyes upon a beautiful destination. For example, when you might be going to the Grand Canyon or Yellowstone or New England to see the fall foliage. A journey takes preparation, it takes work, and hopefully it ends in some moments of blessed discovery. Now, if we spend so much of our mental time and energy and resources on preparing our journeys, vacations, shouldn't we consider, well, the journey and voyage of eternal life that our mother, the church, calls us to undertake year after year as we journey from the manger to the cross, the empty tomb, and to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost? It's always a journey. Every year, the Lord gives us the privilege of going through the same journey. It's wonderful. And we need to take time to prepare. That's really what the call is today. We hear St. John the Baptist as he's calling, prepare the way for the Lord, the preparation for journey. Thus far, the road has led us to Bethlehem, to a manger, to a child, the adoration of the three magi, the anger of the upended King Herod. But we need to go further, and that's the next stop of the salvation road upon which we rest this morning. As the gospel of this Sunday before Theophany, we hear St. John, the forerunner and baptizer. So let's go through again this gospel that we just heard and think about this journey again and call on. In verse 1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's kind of interesting as you're looking at the gospels, the different gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, to see how they deal with the beginning of the gospel story. Mark is very different. We don't see a story about Mary, about the baby. We only have here the beginning. The beginning starts out very simply. It's interesting how powerful is the beginning message. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. And then the story of the baptism. That's the beginning of the gospel for Mark. In the early church, the celebration of Christmas, of the coming of Jesus, and of the Theophany baptismal scene, they were one. Christmas was Epiphany and Theophany. And it's still celebrated that way in the Armenian church. This week coming up, if you are Armenian, Christmas is being celebrated on January 6th. It's all together, one message. And that's what Mark is trying to show us this day. Because it's a confession about who this child really is. It gets at the meat of Christmas right away. A strong proclamation made, he is God. He is Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the one sent from all eternity for us, the Son of God. Here, in fact, we might say Mark 1 is the very seeds of the Nicene Creed that we speak week after week. Very God of very God. Going on in verse 2, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him, clear the way for him. Nothing is ever left to chance in the salvation plan of the Lord. Our Lord never ever springs new ideas on us or surprises his human creation with what he's going to do. He always prepares us. He has prepared the time of salvation for every one of us here today from the very beginning. And he's always told us about it, always trying to bring our minds to it. As it is written in the prophets, over and over we hear about this salvation plan. Nothing is ever left to chance in this world. Isn't it seen in the marvels of the creation that we have all around us that nothing is left to chance? The marvels of science show us this. From every molecule, every atom, every neutron under a nuclear microscope, from every leaf on a tree to every wonderfully made part of creation proclaims nothing is left to chance, and especially his plan of renewal for us in Christ Jesus. Our Lord does not suddenly spring upon us anything good nor bad. When in the case of Israel of old, when they sinned, when they turned against our Lord, even then his patience and mercy through the prophets gave them opportunity upon chance to repent of their turning away from him and renew themselves in him. Even the inevitable fate of exile into Babylon that would take place for Israel, it was announced by the prophets so that no ear might not hear, nor any heart have the inclination again to be turned to repent and have the mercy of the Lord shine upon them. So it is with all of us here. This marvelous work of salvation that we have had the privilege of celebrating this last 10 days, it has been foretold, and yet it is not old, but it is fresh and it is new each liturgy that we celebrate. For our Lord's prophets still speak afresh to us as if we were hearing this prophecy for the first time. Prepare his way. He is coming again to judge the living and the dead. Prepare your hearts today in repentance. Make straight the paths for him. Clear the way of the junk so that you can have a clear view of the Lord. I have to laugh, and I wish Sharon was here. She's sick yet today. But we've been doing a little preparation in our house lately. Our daughters are going to move back temporarily into our house, so we have been moving things out of the two rooms they're going to have where we had originally been putting a bunch of junk in. We're moving all this stuff out into the living room areas, painting and all this. Man, it's hard when you're used to a clear path to walk, especially at night, and here's a box here and here's a box there. Truly, this image hits the mind. Clear the way. But how much more in our own lives? We have a lot of junk in our pathway of life. Things that pile up in our life. A lot of things we shouldn't be keeping and just get in our way. All of our passions, all of our sins that load us down and trip us up. It gets in the way of the path of our Lord, both for him to come to us and we to go to him in prayer. We need to clean up that way, to come in repentance. That's the wonderful sacrament that the church has given us in confession. It's a way to clear the way out. The junk that gets in our way to knowing our Lord more clearly, we can confess and we can be lifted and the way is cleared to prepare the way of the Lord. In verse 4, so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem came out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized. John does just what the church is always called to do. The message is simple. The call to us is the same. St. Paul gave that call to Timothy when he was ordaining him to the ministry. Preach the word, both in season and out of season. Preach the word, just as John did. We're entrusted with that word, just as John the Baptizer was entrusted to call the people to repentance. People are often sheep. People are called oftentimes by false shepherds out there and are led astray. We have been given the Orthodox faith. The Orthodox faith that John began to preach, that the apostles preached, the very ones that the early apostolic fathers preached, those that the fathers of the council preached. All of these messages of preparing the way of the Lord are passed down to us in heart. Again, Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy, the Spirit clearly says that in the last times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Until I come, You are to devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to the preaching and teaching of it. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That's what John was doing. That's what we are doing here in a mission called St. Willibrord. We are preparers of the way, like St. John the Baptizer. We have a tremendous job as modern-day forerunners who are continually making a straight path for others to see Christ. Our little community here is charged to do as John has done, as Timothy did, as the fathers who followed them did, preach the word in season and out of season, live the word in our lives so that others will not stumble by our actions, but will see Christ in us and live. And finally, the message, verses 7 and 8. This was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. My, what humility and servanthood that John demonstrates here. I remember one of the first years that we became Orthodox in our family. And I, coming from a Protestant background, always wanted to, very enthusiastic, always wanted to have control of everything, you know, that I was learning in this Orthodox faith. It's impossible. And I remember our first priest very gently sat back and with a smile, and he said, "You got to understand something about Orthodoxy. It's not about you. Don't try. It's not about you." John demonstrated that humility this morning. Remember that scene, and I may, Father will touch on this on Theophany, in the gospel where John does baptize Christ. And Christ comes, and John says to him, "I'm not worthy to do this." No, we're not, but our Lord chooses us to do it. Our Lord lifts us up with his grace to do this task. True humility of the kind St. John demonstrates today is really very difficult. John himself would find that out. Remember what happened to John the Baptizer. His ultimate goal was found by the beheading of him. When he spoke up steadfastly, in faithful humility, preached not what itching ears wanted to hear, but confronted King Herod about his adultery, and it cost him his head. He decreased, and Christ's grace increased. Even when the martyrs later on would give their own lives, their time and time again, the church grows through their sacrifices. Their bold witness brings others to Christ, and again, Christ increases. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's a loaded promise, but it's one which has come to pass for all of those here who have been baptized into Jesus Christ. Christ's baptism, and I'm sure maybe again Father Steve might speak on this more on Theophany, but it was a baptism into our sinfulness. St. Paul said this to the Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and he was talking about being baptized into Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of reconciliation. We implore you to be reconciled to God. God made him, his son, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that started at this baptism. He became sin, beginning in baptism at the hands of his servant John. He took it upon his shoulders. In his baptism, he fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet said, when he said, "He will carry our infirmities. He will bear upon himself our sicknesses, so that by him we might be healed." He would baptize us, not just with water, as John did symbolically, but now with the Holy Spirit also in that water. St. John the theologian writes, "You must be born again of water and of the Holy Spirit." We are. In so doing, our baptism is just as St. Paul says in Romans 6. Buried with Christ into his death and raised with him in resurrection, all of us have received this promise. All of us have been there this day in this scene with the forerunner. All of us are called to be the forerunner in our lives. May your celebration of Theophany be blessed in that knowledge. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is in our midst.